Hi.
Hello.
Please. Hello.
Good morning.
So maybe we can introduce a little bit here the map.
Oh, yes.
Yes. We are traveling, discovering what is being broadcasting right now in other places.
It's Radio Garden.
It's Radio Garden. As you can see, there are many dots. And these are radio. You can listen what is on air right now.
And they're online radios?
No, they are FM, but they are also online.
So we're not emitting a specific dot from Mechelen right now?
No, it's not a live broadcast from here. We can go to Mechelen if you want, or you can choose somewhere, perhaps, I don't know, you are Portuguese, but you've also worked and travelled in many places. I'd be curious to know your kind of, maybe your sonic perception or sonic memory of a place, maybe that you would like to explore now, or it can be.
I'd like to explore a place that's in the middle of the night right now, because I like night radio.
Interesting. Okay, so we need to go back, perhaps to the
maybe
Pacific
Australia or New Zealand or Pacific.
Japan. Japan. It's or New Zealand. It's now nearly 1 a.m. Nelson, New Zealand.
Let's go there.
Oops.
Fresh FM.
Sweet sounds. Yeah, Wellington seems more to be on a dance vibe.
Ah, yes, it is a weekend as well, so. Oh. Well,
so from. This is another station from Wellington?
Mm-hmm. So the list here on the right hand side is what Radio Garden has from Wellington.
Oh, wow.
The thing about night radio is that it's got kind of romantic. You're right, like night radio is.
It's a specific genre.
Yeah, you can, like, it's everything about, it's kind of more free, there's less audience, the guy's voice is smoother, like, the music selection is a bit more brave, perhaps.
The other day I was reading about this podcast maker who's a librarian. And he makes podcasts specifically to help people sleep. And in doing so, he has to construct these very strange stories that are long-winded and don't really go anywhere. And he has to construct the perfect boring story to bore you to sleep.
Wow, that's great.
So the stories cannot ever be exciting, and they can't conclude, and they can't grab you that much, but they have to entertain you just slightly so you still want to follow. And I find that idea of composing a story this way. He had one of an alien shopping mall where the alien was just walking around the shopping mall looking at stuff, and it was so absurd. He was just commenting on the air conditioning and the gravity levels as he was floating around. And while this is not night radio, he makes it just for people to fall asleep to.
So they're probably very descriptive. And sometimes it happens something, but it's not so
with gigantic,
exciting.
Yeah, gigantic asides, like the alien meets someone in the shopping mall and begins talking to them, and the conversation is completely irrelevant to the whole story. But that's the point, is that is that you let your mind stray off.
Well, you are based in New York now. Let's have a look there.
They're waking up. There's some NPR morning radio. So this is Team Soccer at 6:50 a.m.
Coming up. Coming and dance. Left home your mind. Audra was telling us a little bit about your films as inhabitants, and the Hobby Lobby case. He also said you mentioned that you were going to maybe talk about the sort of women's rights situation in the US right now.
Mm-hmm.
Were you at the Women's March?
I was, just in New York, though.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell us about it?
I'm not sure I can add it much to it. I think it was an important march, more for the number of people. So, I mean, there's been some interesting discussion on the inclusivity and diversity of the march. The organizers intended it to be diverse and invited a diverse team for that purpose. I think it was somewhat successful, but it was still criticized legitimately. There was also, I think, one of the interesting criticisms as well, is there was a lot of female genitalia, which is a physical description of womanhood and does not correspond to gender. And I think that's an interesting kind of visual mark of the march and an interesting criticism of it. It was very campy, with a lot of like vagina images and clitorises and ovaries and uteruses, but in a sense you have to create new images of a variety of organs and a variety of beings that will not be defined by organs either.
Right. I saw a lot of criticism like that of that as well on social media. The idea that the organizers of such big protests like this are criticized for not being inclusive, and that's also has a racial dimension as well. We all know, or perhaps all of us are interested, know that any massive event like this often excludes the people who should be kind of shouting loudest or speaking sort of first. But what's the solution?
It's
little
hard.
Question.
Yeah. I think one thing that may be important to recognize, and it's just at the level of intentions, the organizers recognized this necessity and did try to bring in more people, but it still wasn't very successful. I don't know. It became about reproductive rights in a very majorly way, because there had been some threats right before the march of defunding Planned Parenthood, which is the organization that provides family planning help and is partially funded by the federal government. And so that became a very specific issue. I don't know if that issue in particular also excluded people, because it's very divisive and very specific. And so I'm not sure if that was also the case. But what was interesting, that a few of the men that were participating, there was a lot of posters, reoccurring posters that said, "I'm with her," which was Clinton's campaign slogan. But the posters then had arrows pointing to the women and around in the march, and then some variations of these posters. I'm saying this because they were like recurring posters. Somehow the message got
that's
around.
Interesting there to
and,
have it.
And people kind of had these like memes of real life memes of slogans and sentences and phrases. And then another one of, so a variation of this is, I'm with whatever she says. And I think that's an interesting way of, like, portraying male privilege. And, like, my poster is just indicating you to look at what the other poster is saying.
That's really interesting. Any other interesting mappings of, I don't know, let's say the visual markers of the marches or protests that happen in the US right now? Because we see on social media, like, you kind of the cool ones or the funny signs, but it is interesting to think about the mass kind of, if you want to do a mass reading of, like you were saying about genitalia, it's interesting that that was so prominent. I'm just wondering if there's anything else.
Well, one of the things I kind of got me thinking was that a lot of, another category that was really repeating was kind of keep government out of my uterus, or keep government outside my body. It's my body, my control. And it's a very strange kind of strategy of arguing for abortion, because you're saying, you're kind of leading people to think it's big government that wants to control, it wants to not have the possibility of doing an abortion. But rather, it's the opposite. You do want a government that's funding and that's big enough, giving money out to Planned Parenthood so that you have a choice. But the whole argument, the whole rhetorics of it feels like it's a liberal rhetorics of free market. I want to be able to choose. But except this is not a market, this is health, and you do need big government, not to decide that you can't have an abortion, but to give you a choice, to allow, to give you the space to choose. So this is also something that the posters got me thinking about.
Have you ever felt this atmosphere before?
Not specifically a women's march, but in a way it felt as significant as the marches before the invasion of Iraq, where you do feel that the whole world is like actually disagreeing. Because the majority of the popular vote actually didn't go for Trump, so numerically there's more people opposing this government than there are supporting it. And also, it was one of the elections with the least voters ever, and in certainly much less than the previous two or three elections, I believe. I'm happy to speak about something else.
Yes.
How about the radio?
We could also go to Lisbon.
Or how about the Azores?
Oh, yes.
The Azores, Portuguese archipelago, yes, in the Atlantic Ocean.
De algum modo.
Saúde, e é da responsabilidade do Hospital da Horta. Num formato de entrevista, vamos apresentar vários convidados que irão abordar temas que dizem respeito às diversas especialidades médicas. Vamos.
We're having a medical radio show.
Eventos na área da saúde. E vamos também.
With a bit of a like a jazzy lobby piano in the background.
It sounds very old school.
If all doctors' waiting rooms. Has this loungy feel.
This is a very small island. Ortho, no?
Radio Atlantida.
Oh, wait, but this is... Is it a Surian? I don't think so. Because in Azores, as you guys know, they have a very specific accent, and they used to have a rapper from there, which was amazing because he rapped in this like thick Azorean accent. It's also, I think he was specifically from Capt Paixu, which is the only little town that gets subtitled in Portuguese television because the accent's so thick that we can't understand.
crianças.